Going back to the to our discussion of the different mitzvahs from the Minchas Chinuch, other svarim, today I just want to talk briefly about Sfiras HaOmer, which is the mitzvah that we're doing. The mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer was in last week's parsha. U'svartzim lachem mimacharas haShabbos, and the Torah requires that we count a certain number of days, 49 days, 7 weeks. Between the bringing of the Korban Omer on the second day of Pesach and the holiday, the Yom Tov of Shavuos, to link, as it were, Yetzias Mitzrayim with Matan Torah. So first, let me just point out, again, you probably have learned this over the years, that there are really three different, well, two of the three you've heard of, maybe the third one you haven't heard of. There are really three different shitas in the Rishonim regarding the mitzvah of counting of the Omer. Most of the Rishonim take the position that since the Torah says you are mechuyev to count the Omer from the day that you bring the barley offering in the Beis HaMikdash, that's called the Korban HaOmer, so Mimela, when there's no Beis HaMikdash and you don't bring a Korban, there is no mitzvah d'oraisa to count. The Torah doesn't stam, as I say, you count from the second day of Pesach. Torah says, "Miyom haviyachem es omer hatnufa," from the day that you bring the omer, so it's totally on the korban haomer. So most rishonim say, if there's no korban haomer, svira bisman hazeh is midrabanan zecher lemikdash, in order to remember what the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash was done. That is indeed why the standard nusach of Sfiras HaOmer, right after we count the Omer, one's supposed to say, Harachaman hu yachsir lanu avodas beis hamikdash limkaima, b'mheirav yameinu, some have. Meaning what? You ask Hashem, may you restore the service of the Beis HaMikdash speedily, and that is a recognition that the whole avodah of Sfiras HaOmer, according to most Rishonim, is only a mitzvah d'rabbanan, Zecher l'mikdash. How can I make a bracha on the mitzvah d'rabbanan, asher kiddushanu b'mitzvaysav, that Hashem commanded us b'tzivanu? It's not d'oraisa. Well, again, I mean, this is hardly the only place where you're going to have this question. Near Chanukah, Mikra Megillah, lighting Shabbos candles, all of them are absolutely d'rabbanans, and we still make a bracha. And the Rambam says, based on the Gemara and Shabbos, that since one of the mitzvahs of the Torah is laisasur, not to depart from what the Chachamim tell you, so on every mitzvah to Rabbanan, it's shayach to say Hashem commanded us, because He commanded us to listen to the takanas of the Chachamim. Now, the Yaitzim in a cloud, the one Rishon who differs with this position, is the Rambam. The Rambam maintains that Sfiras HaOmer, even Bisman Hazeh, is a mitzvah d'oraisa. Most people understand the Rambam to mean that the mitzvah is not totally on the hakravas haomer, the mitzvah is totally on the date of the hakravas haomer, and therefore even when you don't have the omer, you still do the counting. The Rambam says it's d'oraisa. But it's interesting that Rav Chaim, B'shem Rav Chaim, they say that the Rambam does not really differ with Taisus. In other words, the Rambam also learns that you only count the Omer to Oraisa when you can bring the Korban Omer. But Rav Chaim wants to say that the Rambam goes l'shitase. I think we discussed this at one point. That is, in the 19th century, when there began to be, 1800s, when there began to be widespread restoration of Jewish people to Eretz Yisrael, particularly the Talmidim of the Gra, there was the revival of a discussion whether we could bring Korbanos B'zman Hazeh. What exactly, why can't we bring Korbanos B'zman Hazeh? Putting aside the politics of the Harabayas and the like. Let's think about this. So one answer you might say is, well, we can't bring Korbanos because we're all Tameh. And a Tameh person is not even allowed to go on the Harabayas. So how can we bring korbanos if we're all tameh? And without the para aduma, there's no way we can become tor. So a tameh meis cannot enter the harabayas. Well, you could raise children, but once again, in other words, that would enable us to do the para aduma.
charter them off from the beginning of last summer, right?
Well, yeah, but so you're going to keep them tar for 20 years, and they can't do the avodah until they're 20. It's not like to make the parat duma, you can have them as kids, but okay. So the emes is, though, that that's not a problem. Tuma is the least of the problems in bringing korbanos, because the korban tamid, the korban musaf, the korban pesach, hadlakas haminayra, and the korban aimer are all korbanos tzibur. They are communal offerings. They are not simply private offerings. And even though a private offering cannot be brought in a state of tuma, alibi diemes tuma hutra b'tzibur. The halacha is that the laws of tuma are set aside for a korban tzibur. So alibi diemes, the fact that I'm tamei, is not going to stop me from bringing a korban. Now, I couldn't bring a korban chatas. I couldn't bring a private offering. But a communal offering is tuma hutra b'tzibur. So what's the problem? No. So this is a little tricky, and this is a common misconception people have. There are two different concepts of tuma hutra b'tzibur. When the korban itself is a korban tzibur, korban tamid, korban musaf, then the halacha is even if most of the tzibur is tahor, it can be brought when the kohen is tameh. The only machlokas in the Gemara is if there's a kohen tor that's available right there, do you have to get it? According to one opinion, if it's hutra b'tzibur, you don't even have to get a kohen tor l'chatchila. The halacha that this heter only applies if rove of the tzibur as a whole is tameh is a unique halacha only for korban pesach, because alibi the emes, korban pesach itself is not a korban tzibur. Korban pesach is a chiyuv on every individual to bring a korban pesach, but there the Torah mechadesh if rove of the tzibur is tameh, instead of going to pesach sheni, they bring it on pesach rishon. But the normal principle of tumah hutra b'tzibur is not really looking at the congregation; it's really looking at the kohanim, and it's basically saying if the kohanim are tameh, if I hold it's hutra b'tzibur, then even l'chatchila they can bring the korban. But if I hold the chuyah b'tzibur, then you have to look for kohanim tahorim, but it would be good. Okay, so it's really two different things. In fact, it's very confusing why they're even called by the same klal. It's not the same klal. Tumah hutra b'tzibur by Pesach and by Tamid are literally two different situations of tumah hutra b'tzibur. So here's the problem. There is a machloikas, the Rambam and the Ravit, based on Gemaras, of course, whether the holiness, the kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash remains even after the Chorban. According to the Shita Sarambam, the Kedusha of the Temple Mount remains in effect even b'Chorbana. Right? That's the Rambam Shita. In the language of the Gemara, the Kedusha was Kitcha L'Shata. The Kedusha was there at the time they built the Beis HaMikdash, v'Kitcha L'Yasid Lavo, and it remains permanently Kaddish. According to the Ravid, the Kedushas Makayim HaMikdash lapsed, it terminated, it was annulled when there was a Chorban. Now, it's important to understand that each of these views has a Chumrah and has a Kula. According to the Rambam, that says the Kedushas Makayim HaMikdash is still here today, the Chumrah would be that if I'm Tameh and I enter into the Makom HaMikdash, I'm Chayev Kares. Because the Kedushas Makom HaMikdash has not terminated, and I'm Chayev Kares. According to the Ravid, it would actually be permitted L'chatchila to even go on the Makom of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, because that Makom no longer has Halachic Kedusha, and as a result, a Tameh can go there just like a Tameh can go here. Right? So that's the where the Rambam is Machmir, and the Ravid is Megam. But there's a flip side to that. Since, according to the Rambam, the Makom HaMikdash still has Kedusha, you would be allowed to bring Korbanos on that Makom. And even if you're Tameh, you could bring the Korban. Because even though I couldn't enter Stam, but when I'm entering to bring a Korban, if I'm a Kohen or whatever it is, it's Tumah Hutra b'Tzibur. According to the Ravid, it would be the opposite problem. According to the Ravid, there is no Isser for a Tamei person to go on the Har HaBayis. But since the Makom doesn't have Kedusha, if you bring a Korban there, you are transgressing the Aveira of bringing a Korban outside of the See, the Makom HaMikdash itself is halakhically not the Makom HaMikdash. It doesn't have Kedusha. So you would be Chayef Kares for the Aveira of Shechutei Chutz. So, even if you were Torah, right. Well, there's a not. Well, you're correct, you're actually bringing up a nice aura that when there's no pinim, can there be a chutz? Yeah, but basically, the Ravid learns the other way around. The Ravid basically learns when nothing's pinim, so everything becomes chutz. That's how he's learning. So it turns out like this. It turns out that according to the Rambam, I'm not allowed to walk on the Har HaBayis at all. I'm ignoring, by the way, certain shtachim of the Har HaBayis might be Machne Levi. Okay, but I can't walk in the Makom HaMikdash. But I would be allowed to have Korbanos, Mitum HaHutra B'tzibur. So you might say, but wait a second here. We seem to be moving with both chumras, which is not so uncommon. On one hand, we say, I'm not allowed to walk on the Har HaBayis because I'm Tameh. That's going like the Rambam. And yet, we also say, I'm not allowed to bring Korbanos because the Kedushas HaMikdash is no longer there. That's like the Ravid. Like the Ravid, I can't bring Korbanos, but I'm allowed to enter. Like the Rambam, I'm normally not allowed to enter, but I could bring a Korban Seber. So Rabbi Kivager, this was a big debate. In the 19th century, there were tshuvas about the reinstitution of Korbanos. People were really talking about it. The Binyan Siyan, the Aruch Lener, the Chassam Sefer, Rabbi Kivager, and the Maskana of most of the Gedolim, as you can imagine, is can't bring Korbanos. Now Rabbi Kivager simply said like this. Rabbi Kivager's argument was that Ein biyodeinu lahachriya kaharambam vaharaybet. Rabbi Kivager says we don't have a koach to paskin. In other words, to be machriya, to resolve whether we follow the Rambam or the Ravid. It's not in the Shulchan Aruch. Therefore, Rabbi Kivager says, Pashut, we have to be machmir misafek, like both opinions. Therefore, indeed, we're machmir like both opinions. We're machmir like the Rambam, that I'm not allowed to enter the Har HaBayis because I'm Tomei, which like the Ravid would be allowed. And we're machmer like the Ravid that I'm not allowed to bring korbanos because it would be shechutei chutz, which actually means, according to the Rambam, you would bring korbanos. Now, Aliba Diemus, I just want to point out, David Karliner was a great gadol. He's not so well known today, but in the door of Rav Chaim and Rav Meir Simcha, many consider David Karliner to be the gadol of that door. So it's really unbelievable. A person of great eminence. Like the Rakechev a little bit, he never looked at Achronim. So a lot of times he's mechavin to what Achronim say or what other Rishonim say even, and the like. But Rav David Karlina tainted Rabbi Kivager the following argument. If you're telling me the only reason we don't bring a Korban is because we're not sure if the halacha is like the Rambam or the Ravid, I'll give you an Eitzah, let's say to bring a Korban Pesach, but it also works for a Korban Tamid, which will work like both opinions. A person should be makdish an animal, but he should be makdish the animal on a condition. He should basically say, if the halacha is like the Rambam, I hereby declare this animal to be a Korban Pesach. And if the halacha is like the Ravid, I hereby declare this animal to remain chulin. He then comes in, he shechs the animal, he burns the fats in the appropriate way, and basically it works out like this. If the halacha is like the Rambam, it's a Korban Pesach, and I'm allowed to bring a Korban Pesach, and even though I'm entering the Makom HaMikdash, Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. Elamai, if the halacha is like the Ravid, I'm transgressing the Isser of Shechutei Chutz. No. If the love is like derived with the animal, I'm shechting chulin, and then I'm just burning stuff. I could burn like a barbecue. I can burn what I want to burn. And the Memelo, David Carolina says that this could also be for a korban tamid. You could basically say, unless you're talking about tashkas, I mean, what's the problem? You basically say by korban tamid, if the halacha is like the Rambam, this is a korban tamid. If the halacha is like the Raibid, I'm just burning a dead animal. Baltashkas, but Mistam, if you want to be Yotze and Mitzvah of korban misafek, it's not Baltashkas. So Rav David Carolina tying it that if the only problem with korbanos would be the question of whether we paskin like the Rambam or the Ravid, you could actually resolve this dilemma by being makdish an animal on a condition that like the Rambam it's a korban and like the Ravid it's chulin, and that would allow you to do it. So because of this, there are other reasons why we can't do it. Number one, we can't bring korbanos because even like the Ravid, I'm sorry, even like the Rambam, that the makam is kadosh, you can only bring the korban on the exact site of the mizbeach. You don't need a mizbeach, but you need the site of the mizbeach. We're not bucky, and the korban can only be brought by a kohen, and we're not 100% clear who has the yichas of a kohen. In other words, you would superimpose an additional tonight. Because like this, because the problem is like the Rambam, if your makdash is a korban and it's not the mukam mizbeach, then the korban would be pasul, and then you wouldn't be allowed to eat it, and you wouldn't be yotzei the mitzvah. So you're saying add it on a tanai that if it's the wrong place, that might be possible. But then you have the problem of kohanim. So the question is, could you fold everything into a tanai because we don't know who a kohen is, huh? That is a good point because you want to avoid. That's right. You want to avoid being over like the Rambam. So you're right. In order to be sure you're not over the Aveira, venturing as a Tameh according to the Rambam, you have to be sure that according to the Rambam you vadai are yaisei. So to add extra conditions that even according to the Rambam it's not a korban would be creating a circumstance where you might be transgressing the Yisr D'Oraisa of a Tamei entering. That's a very good point. So that's why it's not shy. In other words, you got to have a Tanai, which if the halacha is like the Rambam, I for sure have a valid korban of Tum Hotra B'Tzibur. If you're going to make further conditions, which will mean it will not be a valid korban like the Rambam, then you are misafek, transgressing the issue. That's a very good point. That's why it wouldn't work. Yeah. You know, some people know. Listen, this goes back to the general. As you know, there are people who are religious people who go on the Har HaBayis today. That's either you or me. They're also religious people, and what is their argument? They also say that they're not paskening like the Ravid Chas V'Shalom. Nobody paskens like the Ravid. But they basically say that we know exactly where the Makam HaMikdash is, so the outer rim, the outer perimeters of the Har HaBayis is not yet the Machaneh Shekhinah. It's not yet the divine camp, and the Tamei Mace is allowed to go to that area. So if you have that type of confidence, so you'll say you'll know where the Mizbeach is. But most poskim say that we are not exactly sure where the Kodesh HaKadoshim is, we're not sure where the layout is, and as a result, they don't want to be machria, they don't want to make a decision to bring a korban, which is a sapek chiv kares, if it's not a valid korban, because we're tameh. It's a question of how confident you are. Now, those who walk in the Har HaBayis, if they're so confident, maybe that wouldn't be a problem. But also we have a problem of Kohanim Miyuchasim, who's a Kohen, it's a big problem. And we also have a problem of Big Day Kahuna. There are many details. It's amazing, all of these different details. Because what's the halacha of a Kohen does Avoda, and his Big Day Kahuna are not exactly the way they're supposed to be? The Avoda's puzzle. So even if you have a Machlekes in the Gemara, right, you're not 100% sure. And we learn these things, and we don't necessarily have to have a clear halacha l'maisa on them. But if you want to bring korbanos, you do. And again, the reason is exactly as you said, because you can't just make another condition there, because then misafek you might be entering the makom hamikdash in the state of tuma, for which you're chayiv karas. Okay, this was a long sugya, and as I say, there are some people today who still want to bring korbanos. Some of it is politically motivated. Blow up the Temple Mounts, all those other issues. But this is the shadow of the halacha. But going back to Sfiras HaOmer, I just want to say that Rav Chaim Tainas like this. Rav Chaim Tainas, that the Rambam also agrees that the mitzvah to count the Omer is linked to the bringing of the Omer. The only difference is, according to Tosfos, it is linked to the actual bringing of the Omer. And therefore, if you don't bring the Omer, the counting of the Omer is midrabanan. And that's how we paskin. The Rambam says, since you could bring the Omer, even bisman hazeh, because of tumah hutra b'tzibor, the counting of the Omer is the oraisa, because it is from the day that you're able. In other words, the Rav Chaim actually says that the Rambam holding that Svira is min haTorah is a totsa'ah, it is a consequence, it is a result of his shita that the Kedushas HaMikdash did not lapse. Hashem came, if I hold your Rabbanan, the Kedushas HaMikdash did lapse, and that would make it a Drabbanan. This is Rav Chaim wants to connect this with that. Now, it's interesting that some bring from a Ramban. The Mishnah in Kedushin tells us, everyone knows this klal, that women are peturos, women are exempt from a mitzvah saseh shesman grama, from positive commandments that are time-bound. Many exceptions. This is a rule that actually has more exceptions that are covered by the rule. But the rule that we start off with is, if it's a positive mitzvah, which has a time-bound component, women are peturos. What are the examples? Kriyashma, which is limited in time. Tefillin, which is limited in time. You don't wear tefillin at night or on Shabbos. Women are peturos from shofar, and from lulav, and from sukkah. Right? Siman gerama. Now, the many, many exceptions, which have their own drushas, women are chayavos in matzah, women are chayavos in talit kosos, women are chayavos in haggadah, women are chayavos in megillah, women are chayavos in chanukah. Those are exceptions. But the rule is man gerama. So what about sviras ha'emer? Is a woman chayavos in the mitzvah of sviras ha'emer? Overwhelmingly, Rishonim say, for a davar pashut, l'chayra, Sviras HaOmer is vadai a mitzvah saseh shezman gerama, and women are peturas from Sviras HaOmer. It's not one of the exceptions. It falls under the rule, right? That's the pashas. Women are peturas from Sviras HaOmer. Now, there's a separate little machlekes. Let's assume women are peturas from Sviras HaOmer. Are they allowed voluntarily to count and make a bracha? Now, what would you say about that generally? Well, let's ask ourselves generally. Let's take a mitzvah sasatius man gerama that women are for sure peturas from. They're putter from sukkah. Can a woman voluntarily sit in a sukkah? Sure. Can she make a leishave basukkah? Can she make al netilas lulav? So that actually is a big, big machlekes. Also a big machlekes between the Rambam and the Balei and Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says in Maseches Sukkah that even though a woman is not obligated in a mitzvah sasatius man gerama, if she wants to do the mitzvah, she can do it on a voluntary basis. Okay, that's not controversial per se. And she could even make the bracha asher kiddushanu b'mitzvaysav, because when she says the words asher kiddushanu b'mitzvaysav, she is not referring to Hashem commanding her, but she's referring to Hashem commanding Am Yisrael, and that made us a holy nation. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, women are allowed to make a bracha on a mitzvah saseh shasman grava. Say again? So the lesson of Rabbeinu Tam is she gets the reward as a person that's eino mitzvah. In other words, Chazal say, one who is commanded gets more reward than someone who's not commanded, but even if someone who's not commanded gets an extra credit reward.
bracha on the mitzvah should be when everyone else, either she does do the mitzvah.
That's correct. That's correct. Yeah, but the bracha is not going on her mitzvah. The bracha is going on, in other words, as an eino mitzvah, she could say the bracha too.
The bracha had anything?
Yeah, the bracha is also a kiyum mitzvah. In other words, she is voluntarily doing the mitzvah of saying a bracha. Yeah, that's also eino mitzvah of Yaisa. Now, the Rambam is cholek. The Rambam is cholek 100%. A woman that voluntarily does a mitzvah saseh shezman grama is not allowed to make a bracha of Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvosav. If she makes such a bracha, it is a bracha levatola. Big machlekes, the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam. The Mechaber of Yosef Karo in the Shulchan Aruch, as is normally the case, paskins like the Rambam, that women should not make a bracha on the mitzvah saseh shezman grama. The Ramah, as he usually does, follows the sheet of Tosfos of the Rabbeinu Tam, and says women do make a bracha. Now this is what Rabbi Avadya Yosef Zatzal, one of his big campaigns, was, because the problem was for many, many years, there were no real Sephardic seminaries for girls in Eretz Yisrael. So girls were learning in Ashkenazic Beis Yaakovs, and they all learned that if you sit in the sukkah, you make the bracha of Leishei B'sukkah, you make al Netilas Lulav. And Rav Adi Yosef, who was one of his big campaigns in life, was to be machzer the minhagim of Sephardim, back to the way lahachzer atar liyishna, right? Shas, the whole party, lahachzer atar liyishna. So he basically fought a lot to kind of bring back the minhag that Sephardic women do not make the bracha. Now, what's interesting, again, I don't want to digress too much into Rav Adi Yosef, kind of the politics of Psak. What's very interesting is that Rav Avadya had a vision that there's only one minhag of Sephardim. Sephardim are the Mechaber. Now the problem is, there were many Sephardic kehilas that didn't fully agree with that. In Morocco, for example, many were following the Hachros of the Ramah, or other Shitas, and the like. Or sometimes where the Mechaber doesn't follow the Rambam, the Temanim were following the Rambam keneged the Mechaber. So Rav Avadya claimed for over many, many years that if you have any Sephardim who are not following the Mechaber, that's because of negative Ashkenazi influence. He pointed out that in Morocco, Chabad ran a lot of the schools, and they just brought in, you know, Ashkenazic stuff. He wasn't knocking Chabad per se. He was like, but they were Ashkenazic, and that's how they taught. But the Moroccan Rabbanim were very much not, you know, they were misnagi. So the emes is, Rav Avadya's Hanacha, that Sephardim are always the Mechaber, was actually not uniformly agreed upon, and it was a bit controversial in that sense. But Rav Avadya does have has many, many chivas that say that women who are Sephardic are not allowed to make brachas on the Mrs. Hoseishas von Grama unless they marry an Ashkenazic husband, and then they're allowed to switch over to Rabbi Natan. Now, so let's go back to Sfiras Aimer. If we assume Sfiras Aimer is a Zman Grama, which is Bepashtas, so like the Rambam, they would not be allowed to make a bracha, Mechaber, but one would assume, according to Ashkenazim, they should be allowed to make a bracha. Right? That's what you would assume. Like Lulav, like Sukkah. So here we have, no, but here we have the Magen Avram. The Magen Avram Tainus, that even if you follow the view of the Ramah, Magen Avram himself follows the view of the Ramah, that women are permitted to make a bracha on the mitzvah saseh shezman grama, but Sfiras HaOmer might be an exception to that. The reason being that it's likely that a woman is going to forget one of the 49 days. Okay, putting aside the assumption behind that assumption. And therefore, it's not going to be complete. Now, this itself is very, very fascinating, because what the Magen Avraham is actually suggesting is this. What is he referring to? We know the halacha that if I skip a whole day, and I miss a whole day, I can no longer count with a bracha. If I miss a whole day, as opposed to making it up in the daytime. Why do I miss a whole bracha? Because since the Torah describes the mitzvah of Aimer as tamimais, as complete, if I miss a whole day, my counting is no longer complete. Now, What's interesting is this. If I miss a day, so good, I can't count anymore, but does that mean Lamafreya retroactively? The days that I counted were not valid? And if the days that I counted were not valid, did I retroactively make a Brachah L'Batala? The Magen Avraham seems to be saying, if the Magen Avraham says a woman is not supposed to make a Brachah because maybe she'll forget in the middle, the Magen Avraham seems to be presupposing in that assumption that when you miss a day, it is not simply your inability to go on that is affected, but you actually have lost the Kiyam HaMitzvah for all the days that you've already counted. I mean, that's the Chayra, his assumption. Now, the Chayra, according to that reasoning, would that apply to a man? I mean, good. Let's say a man knows he's going to forget. So it could be, if you look at the Magen Avraham, is mashma, that the reason a woman would forget, it's not a sexist remark. It's not that, you know, women forget things more. But rather, it's based on the idea that since they're not obligated, it's less of a serious thing in their mind. So by a man, we assume that, you know, he'll take some step to be sure that he does it. So Bekitzer, not everybody follows the Magen Avraham. Some Paiskim say every woman can make her own judgment, you know, if the woman doesn't forget or whatever it is. But the point is, just again, to summarize this, according to the Rambam, for sure she cannot make a bracha. According to Rabbeinu Tam, some say she could make a bracha, like Sukkah and Lulav. Others say she should not make a bracha because it's we're chayshish that she'll forget, and therefore there's a chisaron of tamimas. But all of this is assuming one thing. All of this is assuming that what? That Svira Sa'imer is a mitzvah saseh shezvan grama, which is bapashas. Yeah, you're saying? That's also a kasha. That's also a kasha. Well, we should make one bracha on the second night of Pesach, and that should cover the whole mitzvah. That is a very good kasha. It's not at all boring. And then, of course, everybody knows the famous Minchas Chinuch, which is one of the most famous bar mitzvah speeches of all bar mitzvah children who become bar mitzvah between Pesach and Shavuos, and that is the Minchas Chinuch declares, if a katan becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of Sefiras HaOmer, even if he was counting all the days, but since he was a katan at the time, so that wasn't really a kiyam hamitzvah, do I say that he, now that he's a gadol, or a ger who becomes a ger in the middle, becomes Jewish in the middle of Sefira, is he allowed to count with a bracha because his initial counting was not a kiyam hamitzvah? Now, at least by a katan, we paskin for sure, yes, the halacha is that way, but Michal Sefira has a whole shayla, whether the sphere of a katan is a chisaron of tamimus, because what he did as a katan does not really count as part of his mitzvah. In fact, the Briska Rav says an interesting thing, even by Birchas HaTorah it's that way. This is very, very interesting halacha. Sure, it makes a lot of sense. The Briska Rav says like this, we make Birchas HaTorah in the morning, and that covers us until we go to sleep, right? It covers you the whole day, till the next morning. One is not allowed to learn Torah unless they recite Birchas HaTorah, right? Can't learn Torah. At least you can't verbalize Torah. So Zakti Briska Rav. So let's say my bar mitzvah is tonight, right? I'm going to be 13 tonight. So the Briska Rav says, how can I learn once it's Seisa Kochavim? The Chayra, I'm not allowed to learn unless I make Birchas HaTorah. But the Birchas HaTorah I made in the morning was the Birchas HaTorah of a Katan. How can the Birchas HaTorah of a Katan patur me when I become a Gadol that's chayav in Birchas HaTorah? So the Briska Rav says like this. The Briska Rav said, he was mesupik about this for him. But the Briska Rav said, it's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara in Brachos, that b'dievet at least, if you didn't say Birchas HaTorah, you fulfill the mitzvah of Birchas HaTorah with the bracha of Ava Rabba, which is thanking Hashem for Torah in the morning, and at Ma'ariv, the bracha of Avas Olam, your Yaseh with Birchas HaTorah, but that's only if you learn immediately after davening. This doesn't cover you unless you connect it to some actual Talmud Torah. So the Briska Rav used to tell every bar mitzvah boy that once it's Seisa Kochavim, you should not learn Torah till you daven Ma'ariv. when you daven Ma'ariv, you should be mechaben to be yotzei birchas hatayra in avas olam, and you should be sure to learn right after Ma'ariv, so you've covered your birchas hatayra. Of course, I should also add an obvious point. It would seem that the day that you become bar mitzvah, even if let's say you're in a shul that normally davens Ma'ariv before it says a kochavim. After Shkia, before it says a kochavim. So Kriya Shema you got to say over again anyway, even a gadol. But for a bar mitzvah kid, it's especially a bit of a problem because it could be he's not going to be Yitzei Ma'ariv because he davened before it says, that was the tefillah of a kata. But when it's nightfall, he's chayiv in the tefillah of a gadol. Right, so one should be careful that the day you become bar mitzvah, because I'm sure all of you have passed that already, but the day you become a bar mitzvah, you have to be sure to daven Ma'ariv Bismana, because otherwise it's a suffix about the chiyuv of Ma'ariv. Again, Kriya Shema is not going to change, because Kriya Shema anyway, if you daven Ma'ariv early, you got to say Shema over again. That's not totally in being a bar mitzvah. But for bar mitzvah, like for tefillah, we're normally mako. But on the other hand, if maybe you were a katan, their vada is going to be a problem with that. Yeah.
Why
doesn't he just make the bracha? It's not clear. This is mipi. It seems that the briskerav was masupik. In other words, if the briskerav would have said he's vada chayev, then he would have made the bracha. But the briskerav was masupik a little bit about whether there's what he did as a katan could cover him as a gadol. I mean, the Mishkos Chinuch says in many, many places that it's a davar pasha that it doesn't cover you. So, although I don't know what he would say about Birchas HaTorah, but the Briskerav was masupik enough that he said that one should be yotzei with Ava Rabba and Avas or Avas Olam in this case. But what I want to so the same thing with Sfira, the Mishkos Chinuch says, and again, it's Man Grama and everything else. But what's interesting is this, and this is something that people puzzle over in the sugya of mitzvah saseh shezman grama, sugya in kedusha. So the Ramban gives a list of mitzvahs that are not zman grama, that women are chayavas in, and the Ramban lists in kedusha kegon sviras ha'imer. So it's a pella. The Ramban is telling me, counting the 49 days between Pesach and Shavuos is not a mitzvah of Zman Grama, right? So this is a Ramban that, very, very puzzling, very, very Shver Ramban. It's a famous Shver Ramban. So some people give a teretz. This is always a good teretz when you can come up with it, that this was a mistake in the deciphering of an abbreviation. That when the Ramban wrote, mitzvah saseh that is not time-bound, kigon, samach, hey. An abbreviation, samach, hey. So a later printer just said, sviras ha'iner, which doesn't make sense. But really, it's sviras hanida. There's a mitzvah hanida that when she has her period, the sufferer, she has to count 7 days. But that's not zman grama because she could have her period any time. So they say, in other words, they say about the Ramban is Maida, that Sviras Ha'imer is Zman Grama. Okay. But they say B'Shem Rav Chaim, another Teretz, they say B'Shem Rav Chaim, and again, this is a darkish stick of Teretz, that Rav Chaim says that the only time something is called Zman Grama is when the Torah gives you an action and then says, do this action within a certain time framework. So, sukkah. There's a mitzvah sitting or living in a sukkah. That's the mitzvah. And the Torah gives you a zman. That zman is the 7 days of sukkahs. So that's a mitzvah saseh that is interposed in a framework of zman. But Rav Chaim says, when the mitzvah itself is to count zman, the Zaman is not an external framework within which a mitzvah is put into. In other words, like this. The difference would be the following. If the mitzvah would be to count numbers, every day you're supposed to count the number one, and then the number two, and the number three, and do this counting within Pesach and Shavuos, that would be called Zman Grama. That's like eating matzah, well, matzah is an exception, but sitting in a sukkah or taking a lulav during sukkahs. But here, the mitzvah is not to simply count, and the Torah says, oh, by the way, do your counting in this time frame. The mitzvah is to count these specific days. In a way, the day is the chepza by which you're doing the mitzvah. The day is your lulav or your esrog. In other words, take this day and do it. So Rav Chaim Tainis, it's a darkest thing as well, Rav Chaim Tainis, that's not taking a mitzvah and putting it into his mind. Rather, the day is the mitzvah itself. In fact, the way this is actually brought down as a bit of an exciting story, that in Volozhin, you know, when they first came across, the Chiddushei Ramban were out of print for a long time. So in Volozhin, Rav Chaim, before he was the Rav of Brisk, was the assistant Rosh Hashiva in Volozhin. The Nitziv was the main Rosh Hashiva, and Rav Chaim was the assistant. Rav Chaim married the Nitziv's granddaughter. Rav Chaim, who obviously was an extraordinarily popular Rosh Hashiva for many, many reasons. And when they finally got to Chiddushei Ramban, they're looking in Kedushin, and they say, Sfira Sa'imer, Mitzvah Sasei, Shalom Asman Groma, Hayitochen, how is it possible? And they went to Rav Chaim, and Rav Chaim just said, like five words, Rav Chaim says, the mitzvah is to count the Zman, therefore it's not Zman Groma. The mitzvah is to count the Zman. And again, he didn't explain it, but again, the interpretation is, you see, you can't take lulav without a lulav. You can't sit in a sukkah without a sukkah. You can't count the days between Pesach and Shavuos without the days between Pesach and Shavuos. So therefore, Rav Chaim says, it's not so much that Pesach and Shavuos is the zaman of the mitzvah, it is the medium through which you do the mitzvah. Now, obviously I have to point out, if you go with the svaras that are given for women being exempt, the abudram, that women have responsibilities in the home, obviously Rav Chaim's lumdus does not tie in with that. I mean, you know, in terms of the impact on a woman's family life, this type of very subtle lumdus makes no difference whatsoever. But Rav Chaim is not going with reasons. Rav Chaim is going with gedorim, with definitions. Right? So we don't paskin like the Ramban. We bothered you're not paskin like the Ramban, and we're not even sure what the nusach in the Ramban was, but this is what they say, b'shem Rav Chaim. One might say a simpler answer than Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim's answer is a deep answer. One might give a simpler answer. And the simpler answer might be totally on this machlokes if Sfira is the Araisa or not. Because like this, if the Torah says, start counting the Omer from the second day of Pesach, that might be Zman Garama. The Torah is conditioning the mitzvah on the Zman. But if the Torah is conditioning the mitzvah not on a Zman, but on an activity, which happens to have a Zman, but it's on an activity. As the Torah says, what creates Sfiras HaOmer is the bringing of a Korban Omer. So the trigger of the mitzvah is not Zman, the trigger of the mitzvah is Sakrava, which means the following. Like Tosfos, who says, Sfiras Drabanan, so on a Doraisa level, the trigger is the Korban, there is a Makom to say it's not Zman Grama. Like the Rambam, however, that the trigger seems to be the date, then the argument, it wouldn't be possible, in other words, for the Rambam to agree with the Ramban, unless you go with Rav Chaim Svar, but not this particular Svar. So that would be a separate one. Okay. But to go back, Bekitzer, so we have two main shitas in Halacha. Tosfos says, Sfira Bizman Hazeh is Drabanan. The Rambam says, Sfira Bizman Hazeh is D'Oraisa. Big nafkamina. Very, very big difference in Halacha. And this would be, it's not so relevant in Eretz Yisrael where we daven Ma'ariv Bizman, but in the United States, probably other places as well, it's very common in most shuls that they daven Ma'ariv before Tzeis HaKochavim, right? They daven Ma'ariv after sunset, and you have to say Kriya Shema again. So here's the question. If you're in such a shul, are you allowed to count the Omer with a bracha Bein Hashmashes? So what is the status? Like the period between sunsets, again, their sheet is when it begins actually, but we paskin essentially that Bein HaShemashes begins from Shkia until the three stars are visible. Right, that would be the simplest shear. Now that period is called Bein HaShemashes, twilight. And Al Pidin, Bein HaShemashes has the status of a Safek, whether it's Yom, Safek, Laila, or there's even a third possibility, that at some point in the middle, and that could be an infinite number of points, it switches, right? It's Miktsasei Min Hayayim. Right, the Gemara gives an afkmina like this. Let's say you ate a kezias of chalev. I'm sorry, not kezias of chalev. A kezias of food. A kezias of foods. No, I'm sorry. A kezias of chalev. A kezias of chalev, non-kosher foods. Bein HaShemashes going into Yom Kippur. So you might think, well, miman efshach, I'm chay of at least one korban chatas. Because if Bein HaShemashes is daytime, I ate chaylev, I'm chay of a chatas. If Bein HaShemashes is nighttime, so not only am I chay of a chatas for chaylev, but I'm chay for Yom Kippur. Or a person does malacha. Let's say a person does malacha between Yom Kippur and Shabbos. Now in our calendar, by the way, it's not possible. Yom Kippur cannot be Friday or Sunday. But in the time when they were Mekadesh Alpi witnesses, Alvi Re'iya, it was Shayach. So let's say you do a Malacha after Shkia, Shabbos, going into Yom Kippur. So you might think in such a case, oh, I either did Malacha on Shabbos, which I'm Chayav B'chatas, or I did Malacha on Yom Kippur, and I'm Chayav B'chatas, so I'm Chayav one Chatas. Zakt Rabbi Meir, and this is how we paskin, no. Because the suffix of Bein HaShemashes is not only Kulo Min Hayom, O Kulo Min HaLaila, but maybe it's switched in the middle. So half of the malacha you did when it was Shabbos, and half of the malacha you did when it was Yom Kippur. So you didn't do a complete malacha on Shabbos or Yom Kippur. You can't be Chaya B'chatas. So Bein HaShemashes is suffix Yayim, suffix Laila, or suffix Miktsasim Min Hayom, Miktsasim Min HaLaila. Yeah. By the way, this actually tracks scientifically. You know, we're not so sensitive to it because we don't, you know, we have light pollution and everything else. But if you're a seaman, like, you know, I'm from the area of Annapolis, there are actually many, many gradations of twilight. There's nautical twilight and there's civil twilight. It actually corresponds very nicely. I mean, Chazal are actually describing that, you know, scientifically, observationally, there are different levels of darkness between sunset and stars coming out. And Chazal are basically saying that these different levels of darkness we call nautical twilight, civil twilight, some other names for it as well, correspond to the idea that we're not sure that even in the middle there may be a transition in different magnitudes of twilight or darkness based on the angle of deflection that when it becomes night, right? I mean, it actually corresponds. It's not stam as a made up thing that, it becomes night, you know. It becomes night because it does get progressively darker. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, Bein HaShemashes is very short, and that is because that's always the case. The closer you are to the equator, the shorter will be your twilight period, and that is true, by the way, both in summer and in winter. It's true that in the summer the day is longer, and in the winter the night is longer, but the length of Bein HaShemashes actually is not totally that much on summer and winter. It is totally on how close to the equator you are. And that's why Bein HaShemashes in Eretz Yisrael is much more is shorter. And that is why Aliba Diemis, Rabbeinu Tam Shita, where Shabbos is not over until 72 minutes after Shkia, although obviously many B'nai Torah follow that Shita in Eretz Yisrael. But many poskim have argued that it does not make empirical sense to say that you have to keep Shabbos until 72 minutes. Rabbeinu Tam's psak was for France or New York or whatever it is. It does not, they say it would not apply to Eretz Yisrael. Of course, there's a problem. Rabbeinu Tam is actually explaining a Gemara that's talking about Eretz Yisrael and bubble. But still, astronomically, he would not be describing the phenomenon here. All right, so like this. So could I count with the bracha bein hashmashes? So it depends. If I hold, like most Rishayim, that Sfiras HaOmer is a Drabanan, so Safek Drabanan, you go Lakula. I can go Lakula on a Safek Drabanan. I can count. I can be lenient. I can be Yaitseh Remis. I can make a bracha. Well, not in a case like this, because where the bracha is a bracha on a mitzvah, once it is paskened that you are yaitzeh the mitzvah misafek, you can make the bracha. In other words, safek brachas v'halka would be if I didn't know if I said the bracha. But when the question is, can I do a mitzvah during this time? And because it's drabanan, I can do the mitzvah during this time, then it wouldn't be a safek bracha anymore. It would be a vadai bracha because you can do the mitzvah. Masha'engin, if I hold that to the Rambam, it's not proper. Subject to Raisa L'chumra, you should not count Bein HaShemashes. So, because of this, even though Mi'ikir Adin, we actually paskin that Sfira is Durabanan, and one is allowed to count Bein HaShemashes, but it is Nachayin to be Chayshesh with the Shitas HaRambam, and not count until after Tzeisa Kechavim. And even if you counted with a bracha, now you don't make a bracha. See, here's the thing. Let's say you counted Bein HaShemashes, and you want to count again to be Chayshish Lashitas Rambam, there you taka, don't make a bracha again, because that's going to be the din of Safek Brachos Lahakel at that point. But if you have a choice, what you should do is this. If you are afraid you might forget, so you should count without a bracha on a Tanai, Bein HaShemashes, and say, hey, you're after the bracha, but here's your Tanai. Your Tanai is that if I remember to count later, then I am mechavein not to be yaitzeh with this Sviras HaOmer, and then I count later with a bracha. But you can then be masna that if I forget to count later, then I should be yaitzeh. Now, granted, if you're going to be yaitzeh with this, you don't have the bracha, but in such a situation, you could be mechavein with the bracha of the chazan. In other words, you basically could say this. And you should even ask the chazan to be maitzi. In other words, the chazan should be maitzi me with the bracha on the following condition. That if I don't remember to count later, I am yotzei with the bracha of the chazan, and I am then yotzei with this sviras haomer. And because we paskin this drabanan, that will enable you to continue counting the next days, and I don't consider it missing the day. But what this does is, the maila of this is, it preserves your ability to then be makayim the mitzvah according to the Rambam, and then make a bracha. That would be better than making the bracha early and then counting again without a bracha. It's actually better to do the other way around. Don't make the bracha early, have the chazan be maitziyu, and then you can count with a bracha later, because on the tzad that you remembered, you weren't yaitzeh the first time. Right? You weren't yaitzeh the first time, therefore you could still count. So that's a big nafkamina, whether it's a rice or a rabbani. But let me, yeah.
The chazan should have the tanai in mind for it.
Say again?
The
chazan does not have to have the tanai in mind. You have to have the tanai in mind. Yeah, you don't have to tell, you don't have to tell the chazan this whole complication, because once again, even if the chazan has kavanah to be maitzi mi legamri, I'm only yaitzei to the degree that I want to be yaitzei. So I can't be yaitzei more than his kavanah is to be maitzi mi, but I can be yaitzei less than his kavanah is to be maitzi mi. So I don't have to inform him about my. My time. By the way, Gerach Agav, just apropos of nothing, but just it's a parallel situation. This idea of Tanai. I don't know if we discussed this before Pesach, or maybe you learned it yourself, or you learned this over. This is the famous Tanai of the Avnei Nezer by the Afikayman. It's a question if we paskin like it. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't bring it. He doesn't say no, but he doesn't bring it, so people are suspicious that the Chafetz Chaim would not have held of it. But here's the Shaila. We know that you're supposed to eat the Afikayman before Chatzais, right? Because the Afikayman is connected to Korban Pesach, and according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Achilas Pesach has to be before Chatzais, or by Chatzais, the Epikhem has to be by Chatzais. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, the Achilas Pesach could be the whole night, and the Epikhem could be the whole night. But so why do we have to eat the Epikhem before Chatzais? So the Ber Halacha says that since there's a Machlokas Rishonim, if we paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azario or Rabbi Akiva, we are mechuyev to be choshesh for the shita of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. But ein achinami, if you miss the chatzais deadline, you eat the apikaimen anyway, because maybe the halach is like Rabbi Akiva. Okay. So, the big dilemma people have, maybe you had it at your Seder, is that, you know, we have a magid, people like to talk about the Haggadah, they like to say Torah. That's another issue. What's the appropriate Torah when you have a mixed group of people? I know that B'nai Torah like to talk about deep lamdasha ideas, which might put the non-yeshiva people asleep or whatever. Okay, that's all discussion of what do you discuss at a Seder. But be it as it may, we often have the dilemma that by the time we reach the meal, it's, you know, 5 minutes to midnight, whatever midnight is. Usually it's not 12, but 12:30 or 12:40. So what do you do? Now, mimanashach, you can't say, well, I'll eat the apikomen now and then have the meal, because you got a big problem. Once you eat the apikomen, you're not allowed to eat anything. So I only have three choices. One choice, skip the meal totally and just go straight to the apikomen, and that's it. I got to do it. Got to eat the apikomen before chatzos. But particularly the women of the house will not be very happy. You know, they worked hard, etc. And also, some of the guests might not understand what's going on. They're not going to be very happy, right? So option one is skip the meal, go to the apikomen, and there'll be no meal. Option two is eat the meal and eat the apikomen after chatzos, which is a big dieved. If you do that, you eat the apikomen after chatzos, but you're not makayim the halacha of eating the apikomen before chatzos. Right? So you're violating that halacha. Option three, which is totally forbidden, is to eat the apikomen before chatzos and then continue with the meal, but you're not allowed to do that because you're not allowed to eat the apikomen. Ah. So the Avnei Nezer comes up with a brilliant, brilliant idea. But the Avnei Nezer's brilliant idea is totally on a certain twist. And this is, maybe it's a little controversial whether you'd accept this. The Avnei Nezer says like this, what does it mean you're not allowed to eat after the apikomen? Does it mean forever? For sure not. Tomorrow morning I'm going to eat. I mean, it doesn't mean once I eat the apikomen I can never eat again. No. So the Avnei Nezer says the following, that the halacha wants the korban pesach taste or the matzah taste to be in your mouth as long as it's the zman of the mitzvah, meaning you're not allowed to eat something else as long as you're still in the time frame that belongs to the Korban Pesach of the Apikomen. Which means the Avnei Nezer says the following. According to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, since the zman of Pesach and Apikomen is only until Chatzais, so the chumra is I got to eat the Apikomen before Chatzais, but I would be allowed to have other food after chatzos. Like Rabbi Akiva, no matter when I eat the apikomen, I wouldn't be allowed to eat the whole night because that's still this month. In other words, what he's basically saying is the isser of eating after the apikomen only lasts as long as it's the zman apikomen. Now, we're machmer both ways. If I eat the apikomen before chatzos, I still don't eat the whole night normally, because I'm machmer like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, but I'm machmer like Rabbi Akiva. But the Avnei Nezer says, if you work with conditions, we have a way out of this dilemma. Let's imagine Chatzais is 12:40 a.m. Right? I think that's basically when it was. 12:40 a.m. So I finish the Magid, I finish the Matzah and the Maror, and it's 12:35. That's 5 minutes. What do I do? So Zakti Avnei Nezer, pick up a piece of matzah and say the following. If the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I am mechaven to fulfill the mitzvah of apikomen with this matzah. If the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, it's just an extra piece of matzah I'm eating as part of my meal. So you eat that at 12:35. Don't eat anything else till 12:40, At 12:40, you're allowed to be mamshich your meal, mimanafshech. If the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Azaria, I was yaitzi yafi kaimin, but I'm allowed to eat at 12:40. If the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, I didn't eat an afi kaimin yet. Then, at the very end of the meal, 2 o'clock in the morning, whenever it is, you eat another piece of matzah, and you make a reverse tonight. And you say, if the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, this is my afi kaimin. If the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, I was yaitzei my afi kaimin already, and I'm allowed to eat after 12:40, so this is just another piece of matzah I'm eating after the zman of afi kaimin. So Zakti Avni Nezer, quite literally, you can, you know, have your matzah and eat it too, in the sense that, now, in order for this to work, you know, you actually want to, you want to finish your magid very close, to, you don't want to finish your magid at 11 o'clock, and then eat and not become, in other words, because, in other words, you're not allowed to eat until, like Rav Elazar ben Azaria, you cannot eat from the Afikom until Chatzos, so you want that time to be a short time. So this is the Avnei Nezer's tonight. Now, many poskim do not bring it. The Aruch HaShulchan does not bring it. The Mishneh Berurah does not bring it, etc. What could possibly be wrong with this idea? I mean, l'chaira, why shouldn't you do it? You know, what could be wrong? Now, some poskim do it. Some poskim actually say to do it. But there are really two weaknesses in the Tanai. Weakness number one is the assumption that, like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, once you were yaitzei the afikomen, you're allowed to eat after chatzos. Some poskim say that's not emes. That some poskim say that the idea that the tam pesach should be nishar bepiv does not lapse with the zman of afikaimen, but that's something you need for the whole night of Pesach, because that's called a leil shimurim, a night of designated contemplation. Okay, that's one thing. The other thing that's wrong with it is the following. This lumdus works only if you assume that the only reason to eat the afikomen before chatzais is because of Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria. In other words, the shaila is, do I paskin like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, or do I paskin like Rabbi Akiva? But the emes is, there are many poskim that say that the chiyuv of eating the afikomen before chatzais is not only like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, it's even like Rabbi Akiva, because the first Mishnah in Brachos says that even a mitzvah that can be done the whole night, like Kriyashma, should be done before chatzais, kedei laharchik adam min ha'aveira, in order that a person shouldn't forget by going to sleep and the like. Now it turns out like this. If the chiyuv of eating afikomen before chatzais is even like Rabbi Akiva, then you're getting in trouble. Because the first afikomen, you can't just say, if the halacha is like Rabbi Elazar ben Azaria, this is afikomen. And if the halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, it's not afikomen. Because you're going to have to be mechaven to let it be the afikomen even like Rabbi Akiva. And if it's the afikomen like Rabbi Akiva, you will then not be allowed to eat the other food the whole night. You see, you can't make that condition anymore. So those are the two problems, the two weak points, so to speak. By the way, the Avnei Nezer, Avnei Nezer was a Hasidic Rebbe, but a great, great Pesach. He was the son-in-law of the Kutzker Rebbe. And the Kutzker Rebbe, we don't know him as a Goyin in Halacha, but the Avnei Nezer, who also wrote the classic Sefer in Hilchos Shabbos, the Eglei Tal, the Avnei Nezer, he writes that his whole derech in learning he got from his father-in-law, the Kutzker. He says the Kutzker was a phenomenal gadol in Torah that taught him all of his derech in Halacha, which is an interesting point. You know, because the Kutzker was a very enigmatic figure. The Kutzker for 20 years didn't see people. He like locked himself in a room, and there used to be Hasidim that would hang around to the door. Because he would come out like every 3 days and say, it's not worth it. Go back in. So they would be waiting for, like, you know, some little vortex would come out and say, then go back in. But the Avinagar had private time with him, so they spent time together. Okay, so this is a little bit of a Dian and Sfiris Amber. But let me just mention the third Chita. So Taisvis, Sfiris Drabana. Rambam, Svira is Diaraisa. There is a third Shita of Rabbeinu Yeruchim. Rabbeinu Yeruchim is a very important, very, very important Rishon. He's a Talmud of the Rush. Rabbeinu Yeruchim is quoted by the Beis Yosef all the time. Although we don't, you know, we don't use Rabbeinu Yeruchim's Svarim so much. First of all, the Chita is made that Rabbeinu Yeruchim's Svarim, for whatever reason, are male printing mistakes and toyas. That's why they're putting out now new editions of it. So, for some reason, very, very mekolkel in transmission. But the Beis Yosef brings Rabbeinu Yeruchim hundreds and hundreds of times. And Rabbeinu Yeruchim says the following nekuda. We know there's a mitzvah to count days and a mitzvah to count weeks. Zakt Rabbeinu Yeruchim, counting days is min ha-Torah. Counting weeks is only zecher l'mikdash. Now we're going to have to explain what type of svar is that. Mimanafshach, if it's tali on the aimer, everything should be drabanan. If it's not tali on the aimer, everything should be diaraisa. Mehechi tesi to be mechalek between days and weeks. Okay, I'll leave that for the next year, but I just want to mention Lani Estaiti, there is a little bit of a remez to this. We don't pass like Rabbeinu Yeruchim, but there's a little bit of a remez in the Nusach of Eidut HaMizrach in Sfiras HaOmer. What do we say? Let's say we say on the 15th day of the Omer, right, what do we say? Hayom Chamisha Asar Yom, this is the 15th day. Shehem Shnei Shavuos V'Yom Echad Ba'aymer or La'aymer. So we put the word Ba'aymer or La'aymer at the end of the sentence. But the way the Eidut HaMizrach counts it is Hayom Chamisha Asar Yom Ba'omer Shehem Shnei Shavuos V'Yom Echad. They put the word Ba'omer after the number of days, and then they say the weeks. So what's the mucker for that? What would be the swara for that in particular? I mean, if we're counting days and weeks, we put ba'aymer at the end. So again, on the exact idea, I didn't see this as an explanation of that nusach. But maybe there's a remez that since the svira of the days is a doraisa, and the svira of the weeks is only a drabanan, so you put the word ba'aymer adjacent to the chelak of the sentence, that is the mitzvah d'yayraisa. So hagam, that we do not paskin like Rabbeinu Yeruchim, but it could be that that's how that nusach got concretized, in the recognition that yamim have a bigger chashivas than shvuas. But we still need to know what the swara is, exactly what's the makor of that, so we'll talk about that, we'll talk about that next week. Okay. Right. Yeah, take care. It was again?
Counting Benish Masha?
Yeah.
So, like the Rambam, there should be a Tilvadai Laila. But even like the opinion that the Rabbanan, should we wait just to not take it?
Thank you.
Well, the Shulchan Aruch says actually not. It's interesting. I mean, normally you would say that, why put yourself in the subway? But on Mrs. Rabbanan, even Lechatchila, you could be Naik Benish Masha. By the way, I know you called me before about. Rabbi Reisman wants you to ask how much money people are getting from the kollel, I mean, or just other sources of income.
It's for distributing people to have the right amount. After the previous man.
In other words, the shaylas at the bookkeeper. The shaylas at the book. I'm sorry, you have to go to your father.
No. I wasn't really asked. I was just. I can't say no now. But I think I'm taking away.
Well, you could talk to, you know, you don't say no to him, your Rebbe, but you know, you could basically say, you know, different people respond different ways. I know that part of the answer is, well, well, if it's bittul Torah for you, it's bittul Torah for somebody else, and, you know, but you know, so what gives you the right to say, let somebody else be mevatel? But the emphasis is, that's not such a tiny, you know, different people respond different ways. For some people, it's a more stressful, distracting thing than for other people. So I think you have the right as a Talmud to go to your Rebbe and basically say, you know, Rebbe, I know this is an important thing, but I find that this is very, very distracting for me, and I wonder maybe there would be somebody else who it wouldn't affect as much. Now, that's perfectly comedic and legitimate, and you can mention it.
Thank you, Alan.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Okay.